where we usually have our scrapbook photo of the week, and it shows an American soldier standing next to a Humvee. Well, this video was taken by insurgents in Iraq, and it is a video of them shooting this American soldier. But what happens is, from their perspective, you can hear their voices mumbling as they are looking at this American who's standing next to this Humvee, and they shoot him, and he falls to the ground, and they immediately start in with Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah. You know, they do that. They pray after they, like, kill a guy, I guess, or they shoot a guy. Only what happens is they don't kill the American. He gets right up. And you can hear this dude going, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And now it's suddenly like he's wetting his pants as the American gets up and goes around behind the Humvee. And that's the clip that we have. And what you're hearing is this raghead sitting there going, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Because all of a sudden he realizes, I just shot that guy, and he just got up. He just got up. Not only did he get up, but he's pointing his weapon in my general direction. And the American goes around behind the Humvee. Now, that's the end of the video, because it was taken by the insurgents. And obviously they videoed these various assassinations and murders that they commit for propaganda purposes. And by the way, when I say insurgent, please understand that it's a guy from most probably Syria or Saudi Arabia or Chechnya or Iran. These are not Iraqis. As much as a lot of people would like you to believe it's a popular uprising. So what happened after the video was these two guys were found after a little bit of a exchange of gunfire. One of them's wounded. In fact, the guy who shot the soldier, who was fine. In fact, the soldier who was shot shows his other comrades, the other American soldiers, where and what general direction the shot came from. And they find these two guys. One of them's wounded, and then they medically treat the guy. Now, I've got this picture up on my website, and I had a really cool caption that I wrote for it, but apparently they didn't put it up, or for whatever reason. Did you talk to Patrick?
I did.
You didn't?
No, I left him a message.
Oh, he's probably not there. I sure hope my website isn't being edited again. Something about ragheads, you know, and maybe they don't dig that. Be that as it may, it'll be up. But take a look at this thing, because I thought it was kind of amusing listening to this guy going, Akbar, Akbar. Gradually, you know, he's squirting a few there, and probably left a little bit of a stain, too, so that by the time they did shoot the guy and treat him, it wasn't smelling too good. It's like, oh, man, what about your personal hygiene? Akbar, Akbar. What a freaking raghead. Hey, nothing against Muslims. I didn't say Muslim, did I? I don't care if he's saying Al-Akbar. I can find a whole bunch of Klansmen that wear a cross around her neck. I didn't say Arab either. I didn't say Arab-American. I said raghead, as in douche. That's American for douche. All right, 1-800-449. We got
Margaret Gray is on the line. I want to talk to you.
Margaret, how are you?
Well, Phil, I'm doing all right. It's a Friday night. Frank and I are in this evening. But I'm listening to your comments concerning this incident that you have on your website. I don't personally think it's in very good taste. But let me be that as it may, Phil.
Well, I know you disagree.
No, it's fine. But be that as it may, you're really on the wrong side of American public opinion when it comes to this. And I wonder if you know that.
Well, it's not really my... I can't think anything other than...
You're really on the wrong side of American public opinion on this. And as a broadcaster, I would think that it's almost career suicide. And
well, I'm the broadcaster here, not you. Okay?
Excuse me. Who was auditioning for Big Valley when you were still in high school?
You were auditioning for a TV show. That's not broadcasting.
I was working in television when you were still in high school. You know, and I think that you owe an awful lot of people an apology. Frank's here, by the way, Phil. Do you want to say hello to him?
Yeah, is Frank there?
Yeah, do you want to say hello to him? I just wanted to say to you...
Hello, young man. How are you?
Good, Frank. How are you doing?
Well, Phil, I'm vertical.
How? Margaret just called me about something having to do with Iraq.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you don't want to get involved with her because she is... She's relentless. I'm going to make it. Would you mind, Phil, if I make myself a cutty while we talk? Would you mind?
No. Go ahead.
I want to. Yeah. I want to get a little. Where's the ice?
Well, it's been for 30 years, Frank.
Okay. A little ice. There we go. How are you, young man?
I'm good, but Margaret had called. She was concerned about a video I had.
A video of what?
It was an American soldier who's getting shot by an insurgent, but then he gets up and they find a guy.
Well, you don't want to go toe-to-toe with her on this Iraq deal, because I've been doing it for the last few years, and I can tell you, you're going to lose every time. She's a... You know, she's just a real... If I could be so bold as to say, she's a real ball cutter, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't care about anybody's opinion, you know, but it's just my opinion, and she says I'm on the wrong side of public opinion.
Let me give you some advice. You know, I love her to death. And I think the world of Margaret. We've been married a long time. But when she begins to talk about her opinion, you're best just to keep your mouth shut. And I just got up from a nap. So how have you been?
I'm fine, Frank. I'm in the middle of my show here.
You're in the middle. He's in the middle of his show. Why'd you give me the phone?
Well, he wanted to talk to you.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, nothing. I mean, I just...
Let me tell you a little bit about Margaret. You know, do you know how we met? Phil?
No, you and Margaret?
Yeah, do you know how we met?
No.
You got to hear this story. This is a great story. We were at a party. I was at a party, and I was on there with Aaron Spelling, and you know him. He produces television shows.
Yeah.
And Margaret was there, and I had not met her. She's with an L.A. County sheriff. This guy was a consultant on a couple of the cop shows on the Adam 12 show. Now, all of a sudden, this crazy broad has grabbed a .38 out of this guy's jacket. Because he's wearing his piece. You follow?
Yeah.
And this crazy broad is waving a gun around the room. And she points it at Aaron Spelling, who I'm with. And Aaron is a sweet man. And she says, or intends to say, I'm going to blow your brains out. But she only got out the third and the fourth word. And she left the R off at the end of the fourth word, right?
I'm going to blow... Oh.
Yeah. So, this is how drunk she is, right? And I wind up marrying her. That's the night we met, you know.
Why'd you marry her?
Because of what she said to Spelling. I thought maybe I could...
Oh, okay. Look, I got to get going.
No, I want to tell you just one more story. I'll let you go. Do you know Jack Nicholson, don't you?
Well, I don't know the man, no.
All right, I want to tell you about Jack Nicholson because he is a terrific guy. And I knew Jack back in the day when he wasn't working. And he said, I got an opportunity to do a movie. And I said, what is it? He said, it's called Easy Rider. I said, who's it with? He says, it's with Hopper. I said, that acid head? And I said, you're kidding. And he said, it's also with the Fonda kid. And I said, all right, if I were you, I'd go for it. Well, I was drinking. In those days, I had a poor boy of rye. And I took a knock on the rye, and I went, Indian, okay? So Jack sees this. I said, you want a drink? He said, sure. And so Jack sees this. He says, if you mind, I want to pull that into the character I'm doing here in the Hopper movie. And I said, what do you mean? He says, that knit Indian thing.
So you mean when he takes that drink in Easy Rider and he goes, Indian?
Yeah, he got that from me. And you know what? I want to tell you, Jack Nicholson is one of the all-time great guys. And he agrees a lot with you and I on this war, but he didn't say anything because, you know, he wants to get laid. more than anything else.
Are you done?
What's that?
Are you done?
I'm all done, Phil. Look, one more thing. I want to tell you something. Do you know Helen Gehagen Douglas?
Look, I got to get going, man.
No, do you know Helen Gehagen Douglas?
I've heard the name.
All right. He was married to Melvin Douglas. You know the actor?
Helen Gehagen Douglas was married to Melvin Douglas.
Yeah, the actor. He was her wife, all right? Now, he...
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Helen Gehagen Douglas. Ran for U.S. Senate in California. He was married to Melvin Douglas. He was her wife.
And he was her... What do you mean?
What is wrong with this guy?
What's wrong? Give me the phone.
Where's the ice?
It's where it's always been, Frank. Christ! What's wrong, Phil?
He's telling me a story about Helen Gehagen Douglas, and he says he was married to Melvin Douglas. He was her wife.
Oh, he gets his tenses confused, or his genders confused. No, it's all right. You know what? It's just some people don't have an aptitude for that.
What do you mean an aptitude? What's to have an aptitude? He was married to her, you know.
So, well, excuse me, Phil, we're not all geniuses like you. Here's the phone.
Where are the coasters?
Oh, God, use a coaster, Frank. There's rings all over that bar. That's a 100-year-old bar from an upstate New York tavern. I had it moved here exclusively. Christ on a crutch.
I don't give a sweet Jesus. All right, so, Phil, So Melvin Douglas, she's this great actress, and she's married to Helen Gehagen Douglas, all right? So she's her husband. She's his husband. And
Wait a minute, man. Who is the guy here?
You talking to me?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Helen Gehagen Douglas, he was her wife.
I didn't say he was her husband. I said he was her wife.
Yeah, but she's a she.
Who is?
Helen Gehagen Douglas.
That's what I said. He's married to Melvin Douglas. Melvin Douglas, she says, look, honey, you want to be a senator? That's fine. So she allows him to go out and get...
Who's she allows who?
Melvin Douglas allowed Helen Gehagen Douglas. Why are you yelling?
Because you're telling me that Helen Gehagen Douglas, he wanted to run for senator, and Melvin Douglas, the actor, she said okay.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Was Melvin Douglas a man?
Yes, he was. What a jack. You know something, Phil, I love you so much. You're such a joker. Yes, he was a man. He asked me, was Melvin Douglas? Although on a good day, you wouldn't know it. Yeah, no, Melvin Douglas. Of course he's a man.
All right. Helen Gehagen Douglas, a woman?
Yeah, he was a woman.
He was a woman?
Yes.
And Melvin Douglas, she was a man?
Yes. What's wrong?
Let me talk to Margaret.
I don't know where he is.
Get out of here!
What a whack job.
Word, my brother. Phil Hendry Show. He is being sued by a customer for making a racially charged remark. He is suing her for assault a day after he said he had surgery. What he, in fact, had was what he calls a hair system installed. He thinks that's surgery. Then we are also going to be talking with Pastor William Renick on the new Harry Potter book. There are some in the world of the very fundamentalist Christian who believes the Harry Potter book may be, in point of fact, the voice of the devil. Pastor Renick had the good fortune, after he did a whirlwind tour of the Middle East with Ms. Clara, to meet R.K. Rowling. Is that her name, R.K.?
L.K.
L.K.?
Yeah.
No, it ain't. It's J.K. or something, ain't it?
Well, what do you ask me for?
I don't know, man. Ain't it J.K.? Yeah. It's J.K. Rowling. He had the good fortune of meeting her in London, and he found her to be very lovely, very charming. And he feels that God may have made her sexually alluring to him because God is saying to him, the Harry Potter books, or as Pastor Renick sometimes calls them, the Colonel Potter books, are perhaps the new gospel. Some new gospel aimed at young people. So he's got a different take on that. We'll be talking with him later on this evening. On our website there, www.philhendryshow.com, if you go and check out that video, that sniper thing, you can also sign up for a backstage pass, which will give you access to our webcast. Our next webcast is on July 29th, and that will be here from our studio. We'll have three cameras, so you'll be able to get a better look at the studio and how we do things. And we'll also have some, we'll have a special MC for the show. So just adding a couple of more things. Not that I should really have to, but I am charging money for it, aren't I? So, in any event, go to the website, www.philhendryshow.com, and pick up your backstage pass, and that'll give you an opportunity to see our webcast, which is on the 29th of July, just a few days away. Coming up now, I told you last night that we would play this for you after we beeped it and edited it and did all the stuff that we needed to do, because when we originally aired the Arlie Ermey phone call to our show, he was not self-editing. Arlie Ermey is not the kind of guy who's going to edit himself. And even though I think you'll hear me in the call, don't I say, could you please watch your language there, Gunnery Sergeant? And I think he says at one point, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk. And then right back into the F-bombs he goes. And it's amazing that I held on to my job over there at KFI. This is back when we were just local on KFI in Los Angeles. So we included this on our Best of 98 CD. So if you pick up a copy of the Best of the 98 CD, you'll hear it unedited. But tonight you will hear it with the edits. You'll hear it with the beeps. And it's Arlie Ermey calling the show after we had Don Parsley on. Mr. Parsley was saying he was a Vietnam veteran. Wasn't he like that, Mark, and talking about how he was traumatized and he was all messed up? And he was doing his Don Parsley scam. He was trying to get money for some crap. And of all people, Mr. Ermey, Sergeant Ermey, calls and rips him an ass. So we're going to hear that in a few minutes as well here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll also hear from our flashback of the week. I mean, our flashback of the day, by request flashback. If you want to make a request, you just email it to us at phs@philhenryshow.com. And I'm getting all kinds of really interesting. You know, what I'm having to do now is I'm sending off to the junk pile all the spam. If I get anything at all that says something like this, Wall Street Journal, new facts reveal, boom, junk pile. If I have any email whatsoever from a group called Media Matters, junk pile. In fact, it doesn't matter who they are. Media Matters could be that Brent Bozell slob. All that stuff goes to the crap can, man. I'm not interested. The only email that I'm reading now is from my Backstage Pass listeners, and if I have time, from people who do not have Backstage Pass membership. And if you don't, and I don't get to your email, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to catch up on everybody who does. Now, there are some people who are Backstage Pass members who believe that gives them the right for their $6.95 a month to call me all kinds of names, a douche, a double douche, douche in a cone, all this stuff. And I get hurt. I go home and I cry. So, you know, I'm here till like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night doing battle with those idiots. But if you have a request, it's phs@philhenryshow.com. We got some news that we want to look at here on the Phil Henry Show. Man fabricates kidnapping. The details in Douglas Kelly's elaborate story of robbery, kidnapping, and assault just didn't add up. He went to a local Exxon to buy dog food. According to police, that's what he told them. However, Exxon doesn't sell dog food. The escape from the trunk of his own 1994 Cadillac was aided by an emergency release lever that wasn't there. And despite being hit in the back of the head, robbed, and forced into a trunk, he somehow managed to have $400 in his wallet. The only thing that was clear to detectives from Kelly's tangled tale was that much of it was made up, and after about an hour of questioning, he gave up the ghost. Fear was a motive, but not fear from the harrowing experience of being kidnapped. Instead, he was more afraid of his girlfriend back in Higdon, Arkansas, learning that he had squandered away most of his money during a night at Scuttlebutt's Gentleman's Club. So this guy, this cat, you know, man, this reminds me of that story. Did you hear the story? I got a better story than that. Did you hear the story about these hicks in North Carolina who rob an armored truck? And they actually rob it, I think, of a few million. Now, they get away with this. But they're such dumb hillbillies that they make this agreement. All right, we're not going to spend any of the money. One of the guys goes to Mexico waiting for the call to come back because I think he was one of the primary. We'll give you the call. You'll come back. Okay, now the guy's sitting in a hotel room in Mexico. Does he ever get the call? No. Where did the money go? Well, let's see. You know those big elephants you can buy that just sit there in your patio? Yeah, they bought a few of those. Velvet paintings, of course, the velvet dog things. And then this dumb chick walks into the bank, wants to make a deposit of some of this cash, and wrapped around it is the band from the bank that was robbed. Within days, these idiots are in custody. Oh, but not before they bought a mansion. With cash. Right? I read this story on the air. I got an option of rights to this thing, man. I want to fly to North Carolina and negotiate with these hillbillies. You don't want to do anything to sidetrack him or to distract the individual because you need all your concentration for what you're going to do. Like, you don't want to do anything. If you're, for instance, if you're a comedian and you're standing backstage and you're waiting to go on, that's not the time you walk up to that guy, that comic is going to go on. That's not the time you walk up to him and say, by the way, your wife's suing you for divorce. Or something like that, right? And it's the same thing sort of in radio. Before you go on the air, you don't want to have to see something that disturbs you or hear anything that is disturbing. Now, people that know something about our business, they are pretty cognizant of that. You generally know a real amateur. They're the ones that'll call you up, like I've been called at times by major market program directors. Hey, you did something on the air that we really don't like. You know, 10 minutes before I'm going to go on the air, they're giving me this. Now, I emailed that picture, and I had a caption I wanted for that picture, and it ain't up there. Now, maybe he made a mistake, and that's fine. That's cool. That's why we're going to call Doug and find out. Or maybe there's something more nefarious at work. Anyway, it's time now for our early Ermy flashback. I brought this up yesterday because we had we're talking about the new book by Matthew Modine, which is a Full Metal Jacket diary. It's a diary of photographic journal, if you will, of the making of the film Full Metal Jacket, which is, as we have often pointed out, one of the great one half of a movie ever made. And so, I haven't seen the book, but it has some behind the scenes photographs, but it got us to thinking about when, Gunnery Sergeant Ermy called the show. So here it is from 1998. This is I guess you could say this is a flashback that I requested.
Is this R. Lee Ermy?
Let me tell everybody who you are first, sir, in case R. Lee Ermy played the drill instructor in Full Metal Jacket. He also went on to appear in Mississippi Burning. We saw you in a little cameo there in Leaving Las Vegas. We're big fans.
I've been in over 40 feature films. I'm retired out of the United States Marine Corps. I was in Way City. I was with the 1st Marine Division. I was a drill instructor in Marine Corps.
Well, we're very big fans of yours here on the old stinking show here.
But this guy.
What do you think of that who called me up saying that he was in Vietnam?
Well, you know what? This guy's got a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know,
some kind of a mental case who saw the movie.
Know, this has got to be the lowest thing. This guy's calling in and he's digging for sympathy. He's pretending to be a Vietnam veteran. I doubt seriously if this young man is a Vietnam veteran. This disgusts me that somebody would call in.
Can you give me a couple of lines from that Full Metal Jacket flick?
I'll give you as many lines as you want. How much would you want?
Just don't give me any of the S or MF stuff.
Well, I try to refrain from that.
Go ahead and lay it on me.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. The first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Yes, sir!
I can't hear you. You've got a pair.
Right on. Right on. How about that one line? I love that thing where you say, here it is. You ask me how tall I am. Go ahead.
How tall are you, Private?
5'4", sir!
I think you're trying to squeeze a few inches in on me, aren't you?
You're a brilliant man. Now, hold on, for this guy, is this guy Don called back? Because I got the man on the line here.
I'd love to put this in the street.
All right, hold on for a second, Lee. Don, are you there?
I'm right here, and this guy is a fake. What?
Don.
What are you laughing about?
This because is nutcase, boy.
This is not our lead.
Give me 25, scumbag. How dare you insult the Vietnam veterans of America the way you've done it? It's humiliating. It's disgraceful.
You're on the radio.
And totally inhuman. How could you do something
You're all over the radio, and you're using all that language, and I don't think it's right.
You dirtbag. I'll use any kind of language I please to use, if you don't mind.
Well, this is a
public radio. You're a scumbag. Radio. You're lower than... You're a garden snail, dude. You know that?
What did I do that was so wrong? I seen a bunch of guys go to the NAM, and I wanted to be a hero, too.
Oh, come on, will ya? What do you mean you wanted to be a hero, too?
Every guy in my street went, and I didn't know.
If you wouldn't have gone to Canada, you might have been able to have been in a situation where somebody might not have had to die for you.
No, hold on for a second. I was going to school to be an anthropologist.
School? Well, that's a real good reason to send somebody else over to Vietnam to die for you, you...
What are you talking about? I went to school to be a cultural...
I'm starting to stutter.
I went to school to be a cultural anthropologist.
Congratulations.
You're going to make me cry.
A lot of kids that went to Vietnam, you stupid never got a chance to go to school. They might have loved a chance to go to school to be an anthropologist. However,
excuse me,
they had to go and die in your place, you worthless piece of so don't hand me that crap.
I said a cultural anthropologist.
Gordon Hartman has spoken, and that's enough.
That's the guy who... Don, you're talking to the guy who was in Full Metal Jacket, the movie you say was based on your life.
You're talking to the guy that wrote this.
You wrote it?
I wrote good large...
Large pieces of that. I thought Kubrick got all the writing credit in that,
yeah,
though, right?
Well, I was there. I wrote. I directed. I was technical advisor,
right?
And I was Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, and I was technical advisor. That's my duty to write.
You were nothing, you piece of crap.
Oh, listen to him. He's stuttering now.
He's got a serious problem.
I got a serious problem. I'm crying right now. It's
well,
your fault.
Goodness. Why don't you said you had some guns there, Don. Why don't you blow your brains off as long as you're at it? Because us Vietnam veterans don't need people like you hanging around, jumping in on like this and making us look like dirt. We already have a serious situation that this was a tremendously unpopular war. Now you got to pull this.
Did you know Stanley Kubrick?
Did I know Stanley? I worked with
him. He's in the stinking movie with the guy.
14 months, you sleaze bag.
Well, what about an autograph?
There it is. That's from our 98 Best of CD. And something tells me, because we were really going over the top, that probably halfway through that, Ermy figured out. But you know what? Didn't keep him from laying all the F-bombs on us. If you want to hear that unedited, all you got to do is go to the website and buy our Best of 98 CD, because you ain't going to hear that on the air again. That's some special stuff, man. By the way, at the very end of that CD is another guy, Dale Dye, who does a hidden track. And it's basically a big FU from the USMC at the very end of that CD. I think it's something like, "Hi, I'm Sergeant Dale Dye, and you can just go F yourself," something like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So there you go. That's entertainment. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. It's Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods. We'll also have with us, Pastor William Renick, talking about the Colonel Potter books. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The bear, the eagle stare, golden bear. Jack Nicklaus will be with us. Coming up. Dear Jim, do you like to have sex with guys? Phil Spector. All right. Jack Nicklaus joins us. Hey, Jack, thanks so much for joining us here on the Jungle. Good to have you on. It's always great talking to you. Welcome to our show. It's really great having you. It's really great. How you feeling?
Well, I'm real good, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Jack, you played golf for a long time. You saw an awful lot of the great golfers. Who's the best golfer that you saw?
That would be me. I was the best.
But Jack, you have to admit that right now, Tiger Woods is the best golfer in golf. Tiger Woods, a black boy, a kid who might have been carrying your bags 30 years ago.
Well, you really know how to jam it in and break it off, don't you? Well, I'll tell you, Jim, I got nothing but the best wishes for Tiger, and I hope that he does well. I think that I still consider myself, over the course of my career, and I think if Tiger equals my achievements, well, then we can sit down at that time and at that place. I'll buy you a drink, and, you know, we'll have a couple of cigars. Hopefully Tiger will be serving us the drinks. You know, you never know. You never know how things change back. But I think that in time we'll see whether he was the greatest of all time. I doubt very seriously.
But you know that Tiger Woods, at his age and what he's achieved more than you have or you did at that age.
You really want to go down this road, don't you? You really want to stick it in and bust it off, don't you? Up your giggy with a wah-wah brush. Stick it in and twist it off.
Jack, in your autobiography, Ass, My 40 Years on the Tour, you mentioned the fact that on the major there, the Masters in 1976, that big putt that you hit, that 65-yard putt, that you might have got a lucky break from the wind and maybe a twig and maybe somebody pushed the ball in.
Yeah, maybe I did. You going back to this Tiger Woods thing?
Well, Jack,
I mean, you know, you're right. 30 years ago, that kid's carrying my bags. 30 years ago, he ain't playing, he's singing. He's wearing that white caddy suit, and he's doing that, down the fairway, go to ball. But no, now the kid is playing. You know, look, I don't bear the kid any grudges at all. I think he's a tremendous golfer. But when you have me on your show, it's about me.
Getting back to Tiger Woods, do you think that he eventually will change the face of golf, and that is bring more players.
More black players? That's what you want to say, isn't it?
No, I was going to say.
No, you're going to say more blacks. Is he going to bring more blacks in? Yeah, he will. He'll open the floodgates. Pouring right in. All coming out there to play at the Masters. Right down in Augusta. Used to be a nice place to go. Now you got dykes at the gate. All the blacks playing. Back when I was a guy, you know, I'd stay there in the Eagle's Nest. You'd say,
hey, boy, how about a mint julep?
And there was no problem to it. But now, courtesy of you and this bit that Henry's doing, I'm restructured now as a racist. Me, Jack Nicklaus. I never made any comments about race in my entire life.
Well, that's because you really weren't politically aware, right?
No, not like Tom Watson. He wouldn't play in a tournament because his wife's Jewish and they didn't allow Jews in the clubhouse. That never occurred to me. How about that? I'm an idiot.
Thank you very much, Jack Nicklaus. Great interview. Thanks a lot, Jack. Good to have you. Always great to have you. Thanks so much. Great interview. Nice having you with us. It's really nice.
Jesus.
I said, when do you want to go? The middle of August. Forget it. There's nowhere you can go in the middle of August. I said, there's a week. We have a week, right? Sure. Make it happen. Make it so, Picard. Now, cruises, I don't dig them. Unless it's first class all the way, baby. That's the only way I'll go, right? Now, that's why I don't go on a lot of them, because I can't afford to go on a lot of them. We took the kids on the Disney cruise. That's an arm and a leg. But it's actually fun, because they have things the kids can do. And when I was telling people about it, they go, yeah, there's a lot of cruise lines like that. I said, well, I'm not really down with cruises, but I like to go with the kids if we can go somewhere cool. Like, I don't know. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know, man. Like, how about Peru or something? Well, you can't go there in a week. So I'm looking at all these cruises, you know, like, there's a cruise to Costa Rica. Now, isn't Costa Rica on the Pacific as well as the Atlantic Ocean? Well, yeah, it is. It's on, Harry's like, I don't know. It's on both sides. Anyway, you got to fly down there first. What do I want to fly there for? I'm living right in Los Angeles. Can I get on a freaking boat and go down there on the boat? Then it says Alaska cruise. Okay. I got to fly up to Canada? How long do you figure it's going to take? I went from we went from Miami down to the Netherlands Antilles. Man, that's got to be a long damn way. That's got to be a long way. We did it in two stinking days. I don't want to get on an airplane with a bunch of kids, and I'll tell you why. A, lots of bags. B, they don't help. C, I'm the guy carrying them. D, no kids. E, my back hurts. So anyway, I'm looking this thing up, and they've got all kinds of really cool cruises.